pop out of bed every Wednesday with a hop, a skip, and a hooray. Cause new comics have hit the shelf with so many titles that you can't sell what's good or bad or just okay. Should you buy it now or wait for the trade? The indies you should know about, and where can you find all this out? Well, luckily this podcast has the answers to all that. They call it God Hates Comics, but does it really? Who knows? And if we're being honest, he's outnumbered by the heroes, so I'm pretty sure we got this. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a special, we'll call it Christmas issue.
Yeah.
With a nice hollow foil reflective 3D cover of God Hates Comics. I want to thank you all for joining us. As always, I am Andrew.
I'm Dusty.
I'm Vince.
Damn it, naturally. I'm Vince naturally.
All right, and we have a special guest with us this week, don't we?
We do.
Yes, we do.
If this is on special.
You're definitely very special.
So I guess we're introducing her.
Like, yes, we have Meredith Nudo with us this week. She is... What is it you do, Meredith?
I do a lot of things.
What would you say it is that you do here?
I'm the comics editor of Space City Nerd. I'm the comics editor and a contributing writer at Dork Shelf, and I'm the co-host of the Pop and Schlock podcast.
Way to make us all look bad.
Hey, I do
like
stuff.
Not like it's fucking hard.
But no, thank you for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you guys for having me on here. I love the show.
They told me I didn't have a say in the matter. I'm just kidding.
She's coming. Deal.
No, it's a big honor. I've enjoyed listening to your show. I love your insight.
If you want to call it insight, yeah, that's what we are.
You guys have been my friends for years prior to this, so there's also that.
So she's biased, is what she's saying. We suck, but she's too nice to tell us. But
you're always encouraging us to do this. So, you know.
Told you for years you needed to do this.
So we finally got off our asses and did it.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, when we first announced it, she was like, finally!
God damn, you guys. Shit.
Well, at least, like, once a week, she was like, why the fuck don't you guys have a podcast? And it's like, well...
Well, now we do. And we're up to our Christmas issue, which I think...
That's
will come
monster.
After
this will be
issue...
Like issue 18?
19. 18 will be... 18 was last week.
It's the God Hates Comics annual?
You see what I'm doing there? Even though we're recording it in advance, I'm talking about it like it was last week.
It's the future.
It's science. So we're going to do a little special discussion this week. We're not going to do a full episode, as it is the holidays. All right. What I actually mean is that... we are going to take a break for the holidays, so we will have this for you this week, and we will hopefully... have something for you next week. If we don't, I will post something either on the...
This week, Christmas week, and next week...
This week is Christmas week. Next week is New Year's week.
So, okay.
We'll have shit.
If we don't, we'll post something on the Facebook or the Twitter or the Google, the internet machine and all that. We don't do much of anything.
No, unless we're leaving for the holidays.
No, I'm sitting at home.
Drinking my eggnog.
Are you going to cry?
I'm going to cry right now. But
I'm disappointed
because
I honestly, truthfully don't think I'm going to be getting any Legos for Christmas because I bought
just
them
did.
All. No.
He gave you Legos for Christmas. What is he, chopped liver?
Christmas Day!
You ungrateful yuppie larva! Look at you!
Dusty. thanks.
You're welcome.
So,
this feels like family time.
It is.
I hate it when mommy and daddy fight. So what we did this week, getting back to the point after 3 minutes of that, is we watched a documentary that was kickstarted called She Makes Comics.
Made by the fine folks at Seaport.
Seaport was one of the production people, and I had their information up when I moved it, but there it is. It was directed by Marissa Stoddard. She's a filmmaker out of Los Angeles. Patrick Meany was one of the producers, just going down the list of people here. But Mike Phillips from Sequart was one of the executive producers.
He was the one kind enough to give us the review copy so we could get to watch this and to do a review for it.
Yes, excellent. So thank you to Mike. We appreciate that. You can follow them on Twitter at She Makes Comics, and they are also on Facebook at facebook.com/SheMakesComicsDoc. If you have not been able to check it out, I'm sure either one of those places can give you some more information to do that. Because we actually all really enjoyed this.
It was really good.
And that's why we invited Meredith along for this week. We figured she'd have some pretty good insight into this.
Plus, she's a girl.
Seeing as she is a writer that has written some comics in her day and might have some stuff coming in the future, maybe.
She does not gonna say comics. So I mean,
she makes comics.
Hey, it's all it's like full circle.
It's man, we're so good.
You can't really see, but I'm waving my arms.
She is, but so this was a so the documentary violent god, like pulling teeth. But no, the documentary by and large is about exactly what it says. It's about women in the history of comic books, going back and showing. I mean, women that have been involved in comics since the 40s and 50s.
Yeah, since the beginning.
Since the beginning, really. And it has interviews with a lot of really, really great people, and just a lot of great insight into...
Yeah, I love how it brings up the fact that back in the 50s, women were actually reading more comics than boys were. Girls
exactly.
Were reading
more saying comics. It was about 55-45
in
the favor of women in the 50s. Because the thing about the 40s and the 50s gets lost a lot is that it wasn't just superheroes.
Yeah.
It's this kind of misconception
of
that
you had a bunch of other
you had romance, you had sci-fi, you had horror, you had all these different kind of options. And so this idea that comics have always just kind of been this superhero dominated culture is a little false, because superheroes actually declined in favor pretty hard at the end of the 40s and into the 50s. Like, that's
Western comics.
Western, but I mean, like, every genre that you can imagine that was popular in film, radio, all of that had comics.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't surprise me at all that the readership reflected that more than just superheroes, because superheroes, by and large, didn't reestablish themselves until the mid-50s to the late 60s, when the Silver Age really took hold.
Yeah.
And then the dawn of Marvel in the 60s. But through that declining period where all the other genres got their chance to kind of step up, it doesn't surprise me at all that the readership fluctuated. And then, of course, superheroes came back and ruined everything.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do.
Damn Superman, what's your powers? Your good looks.
Well, and we're only just now learning how to make the delineation between medium and genre.
Yeah.
It's a mistake that people tend to not make when it comes to things like movies or novels. People know that there's sci-fi movies, there's horror movies, there's romance movies, there's comedies. But when you say comics, people still think
superheroes.
They think
superheroes. Yeah. You hear people say, "I don't like comics," and you're like, "How the hell do you know that? Have you ever read one?"
Yeah.
No.
Well, that's actually the issue.
I can find you something that you like.
Well, it's like that's the issue I have when people talk about comic book movies. Like, they just lump all comic book movies in together. Like you even just look at the Marvel slate alone. Like, none of those movies are really the same genre. Like, Winter Soldier is like a straight up spy espionage movie, and like, Thor is getting into the fantasy stuff, and
Guardians of the Galaxy,
hard sci-fi, and Iron Man is kind of your more of your techno thriller type stuff, and they're all different genres. So it does a disservice, I think, to everything when you just say it's comic books. Oh, it's comic book movies.
Even got movies like Road to Perdition.
That's a comic book movie.
Yeah, which nobody even realizes that's a comic book movie.
Yeah, I mean,
brilliant.
Ghost World.
And just all sorts of stuff that people don't realize these things even were comics, because that's not what comics are supposed to be. And I won't lie, I'm an unabashed fan of superhero comics. I love reading superhero stories, but there's so much other stuff out there that just gets lost in the shuffle. Especially now, we've got this image resurgence, and even DC and Marvel themselves are stepping out of the box a little bit to at least try other things.
Yeah, trying to branch out.
Yeah, I feel Marvel less so.
Marvel has a couple of books that fall, I guess they're kind of that, they're a superhero book, but it feels indie, kind of like Hawkeye was a good example, Black Widow,
Miss Marvel,
even Captain Marvel, things like that. They feel books that are a lot more, and DC is...
They have more like creative freedom.
They feel more like creator-owned books.
Exactly.
She-Hulk was absolutely
She-Hulk
like
was
that.
Great, and DC's, like I said, DC's starting to get into that with things like Batgirl, things like Gotham Academy. Mm-hmm. Even you look at some of the
Arkham Manor has actually just been canceled too.
Arkham Manor got the axe. Yeah, that didn't quite have the great reception that Gotham Academy and Batgirl had so far.
Who writes that?
Jerry Duggan does, doesn't he?
Didn't he sign a contract with Marvel?
He might have.
Reminds me too of Animal Man when it was relaunched with the New 52. It was a horror book.
Yeah, basically.
Straight up beautiful horror.
Jeff Lemire was terrifying me every night with that.
It was fantastic too.
That was something that the New 52. I had to at least give it credit for when it launched, is there was stuff in there that was really an out-there choice, and things that really kind of transcended that superhero genre. Because Swamp Thing wasn't really a superhero book either. Swamp Thing himself didn't show up until, like, issue 5.
Yeah.
Like, Swamp Thing was, like, it was a book about Alec Holland for, like, the first 4 issues.
At the same time, DC, they kind of dropped the ball on some of the female character stuff. Like, the first issue of Catwoman
Oh, yeah.
was...
That was the one with him or her and
they had sex on the roof.
Having sex on the roof. Damn it. It was just like, we need to see this. Is this really?
It wasn't important? Even so much that they. It was the way it was depicted. It was Gillum March's people that don't have spines.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you guys must do serious extreme yoga because that hurts my back thinking about
then
it.
Then again, I mean, not to hate on it, you got to play to the strength of the artist and.
It was also written by Judd Winnick, which
he's not really.
Yeah.
No, he's not exactly known for his stirring
March
quality.
March is known for his like cheesecake pin-up style,
and so,
erotic.
But let's say this: keeping to the subject, since then DC has done a lot to like really put more women like in the forefront. They've got more female writers, more female artists now. Because back whenever New 52 first launched, there was
Gail Simone.
Gail Simone was.
Yeah.
Almost
and
did.
Nicole, no, I don't think Nicole Scott had a book.
I don't think she was on anything.
She launched Earth 2, but that came later.
Yeah.
I don't read a lot of DC, wave. So I'm not going to be able to contribute to this part.
Well, no, just that idea that genres have, even within the superhero books themselves, that comics are starting to try to transcend the classic, well, we're just a superhero book.
Yeah.
Kind of like in the 80s when there was, Doom Patrol and Sandman that were stepping out of that.
Yeah.
Back to the point, though. So the documentary itself is about looking at those trends and then seeing how the women fit into comics from the beginning. Looking at kind of the underground scene in the 70s where...
Which I think was one of the most interesting parts because I didn't even know.
I had no idea about
comics.
I had
the Friends of Lulu.
I've heard of the Friends of Lulu, but I'd never heard of the comics that they were showing.
Yeah.
And so that's really interesting stuff. Now I want to look that stuff up.
Yeah, I'm going to track down Tits and Clits and all women comics.
I actually really like the stuff about Ramona Freydon as well. Like the stuff where she was the co-creator of Metamorpho.
Yeah.
And she drew Aquaman and she was like, I didn't have any access to fish.
Just
so
made up fish.
Some of the fish just look really weird. And I'm like, these are stories, like I'd never heard about that before. And it's things that and first off, it's Aquaman. So it kind of gets lost in the shuffle because Aquaman gets a bum rap. I'll fight anybody that wants to say differently.
Oh, come on, man. Like, old school Aquaman, you're going to be, like, super cool. Like, he talked to fish and, like, rode fish and...
Have you read those comics?
Have you talked to fish?
I haven't talked to fish.
Have you read those comics?
Honestly, I haven't.
Shut the fuck up.
I watched the Super Friends. That guy sucked.
Shut up. Super Friends is not indicative of quality.
That was awesome. All right.
Hope you guys like
that
dolphins.
Man survives on the bottom of the fucking ocean. When you can do that, you can talk shit about him.
Me.
You can command swordfish to stab people.
Yeah. See?
That's like Brightest Day when Aquaman's all freaked out. He's summoning dead fish. I'm like, dude, if I summoned a fucking zombie squid that ate a boat, I wouldn't be scared. I'd be like, yeah, take that.
Deal with that.
Technically, because he's Aquaman and he's got domain over all creatures under the sea... He can command Cthulhu. Can Superman do that?
This is true.
Could Batman do that?
Batman probably could.
Batman should get his ass kicked all the time, but he doesn't because he's Batman. All
right, let's stick to the subject.
I don't think that this was addressed in the movie, and it may have come up when I was taking one of my 50-something bathroom breaks.
Yeah.
Two, I counted.
I'm creeped out. One of the first superheroes, Phantoma, was a woman. She turned whenever she activated her powers, and I think it was one of those heroes where it was like powers as the plot demands, but don't quote me on that. Her face turned into a skull, and she's public domain now, and I think not too long ago Tim Seeley put her in Hack and Slash.
Was she in...
Oh, that's awesome.
I feel like I saw a version of that in... The 12, that book by J. Michael Straczynski.
I think you were correct.
Ago.
Yeah,
she was called something else, like maybe the Black Widow or something. Or that could have been a character from back then, but her power.
But
was
she debuted in 1940, which puts her just after Batman and Superman, because Superman was 38, Batman was 39.
She was among the first then.
Yeah, so she, but she's very early on, and created by Fletcher Hanks.
Really. All right, Fletcher Hanks is kind of amazing.
Is he?
Yeah, absolutely. He's got some of the most absurdist superhero comics that are out there. He's known kind of for being terrible, but fantastic, because it's just like these absurd stories, and it's like the most ridiculous art, but they're really fun to read.
Yeah, Phantom is a blast. Yeah. Because it's this old campy 40s declarative talking. It's fun.
Because Phantom actually precedes Wonder Woman.
Wow, yeah.
That's cool.
By at least a year.
Cool.
Which is interesting. And I think she precedes The Flash and Green Lantern as well. Because those guys were early 40s as well. So she...
she does.
No, she doesn't predate Jay Garrick, but does Green Lantern. So not that it really matters. But the point is, she's really early on.
The point
like,
is you're wrong, though.
No, but it's true, though. She's at the forefront of the superhero movement. And the honest to God truth is, like...
Of course.
Like, they're super... They're, and the thing is Batman and Superman were the ones that took off, but they definitely weren't the first of any of the superheroes. Because Crimson Avenger precedes both of them. I think Crimson Avenger's 35. And he's the first kind of mass superhero, I think. Yeah. Or maybe it's the Bat.
I think some people also credit the Scarlet Pimpernel, which was created by a woman as well.
Oh, yeah. And that's earlier than that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's way back.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the idea of the hero wearing the mask goes back a long time. Even goes back to, you know, the old kind of, you know, Robin Hood stories of the day, you know, stealing from the rich, giving the poor. The idea of the superhero is definitely not something that started in the 40s.
No.
Superman became this kind of iconic symbol for it, but I just hearing about her contributions to like Aquaman and stuff like that, Ramona Freyden, that was really interesting to me, because that stuff I never heard, and like her being a part of Metamorpho.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a guy that's still around.
Absolutely.
I love Metamorpho.
Yeah, he's got this lasting legacy, and like hearing her talk about the costume, where she's like, I had the classic costumes and it didn't really work, so we're just like skin tights and his body will change depending on what he's doing, and I'm like, That's groundbreaking visual stuff there for the 50s and the 60s. And it was just really interesting, all the stuff it got into. And it had interviews with all sorts of people. I mean, not only the old, but it had like Jeanette Kahn, who was publisher of DC, had Karen Berger, who was editor at Vertigo.
Weezy, of course, Louise Simonson.
Louise Simonson, Kelly Sue DeConnick.
One of my favorite people.
She's one of everybody's favorite people.
Well,
I think.
True. She's the one that, like, her comics got me into comics.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, she wrote.
Louise Simonson.
Yeah. And she wrote. I mean, she was writing Superman during the death of Superman in the 90s. And Yael Simone was in there, too. She also wrote Superman, but she's known for Secret Six, which I actually made that comparison during the conversation where we were like, Secret Six was a lot like Doom Patrol. And as much as I think that we think that Secret Six is probably Yael Simone's best work.
Yeah.
The idea and what she was able to do with it. And it was. Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol was so groundbreaking because nobody gave a shit about the Doom Patrol. Like, you had like 6 Doom Patrol fans that were mad at him for what he was doing because nobody else cared.
Just a divergent here. Secret Six is also one of the better examples of LGBTQIA representation.
Yes.
In mainstream comics, especially when it comes to lesbian relationships.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it was the relationship between Knockout and Scandal.
Yeah.
It was definitely very sexy, but extremely real. There was a lot of emotional depth to it. It wasn't just there to be like, hey guys,
not there just to titillate or anything It was there with a purpose.
Yes, it was sexy and it was great, and there was also a very relatable, they squabbled, they had misunderstandings.
Isn't Catman bisexual as well?
Catman was bisexual, but not really, they didn't really
delve into
it, but everybody
was waiting for the Catman Deadshot romance, and it never quite happened.
But in the relaunch, it will be explicit. He will be explicitly bisexual. She said that it will be. They're going to go way more.
I've got
into
issue number one sitting in the room, so I'm looking forward to reading that.
I didn't notice any of it.
Well, it's the first issue.
It's the first issue, but
I mean,
she said that it will go.
I'm just saying. I'm just telling Dustin.
Yeah,
I mean, any of it. Like,
but who cares? I mean, it's not like, you know, it's a.
Like, that's why you didn't buy it because
it's bisexual. Yeah, I didn't buy them because of it, you know.
Which, going back to Louise Simonson, it's actually funny because thinking about it, I didn't realize Louise Simonson was a woman because as a little kid, I was like, oh, Louise Simonson. Okay, so it's like, I didn't even realize I was reading a female writer, which...
That's funny.
It's kind of funny because they make a big stink about, you know, how important it is or like, oh, boys aren't going to read...
Comics
that are by girls and stuff, where
and
I was just
like,
oh, whatever.
Yeah,
like, someone's
just,
writing comics.
The same way,
cool,
to me,
good.
It was just like, who cares? Like, you know, with the women that have been in comics, stuff like that, like, I know that they've definitely shaped, like, my childhood, stuff like that. Sorry. Any other off point there?
Go ahead.
But,
X-Factor?
Yes. Stuff like X-Factor, The Wolverine, and, Havoc miniseries Meltdown that they did.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I knew who she was because it was right at the top, like Louise and Walter Simonson. You know, so I've figured out, you know, early age, it's like, all right, cool, you know. But I never knew that there was not that many women working in comics growing up as a kid.
Well, yeah, because when we were growing up as kids, like, the internet wasn't really a thing then. So, like, there wasn't really, there wasn't nearly the level of communication and open dialogue there is then as there is now.
Yeah.
And it's...
But also, when you're a kid, you really don't care who writes it. It's just like, things are happening. I want
you don't need to raise your hand. Just talk.
So even though I'm sure I know the answer, do you guys feel like it's insulting to hear editors and publishers saying things like, men won't be interested in books written by women, or men won't be interested in books fronted by female characters? Yes,
I think that's, I think it's not, it's not only insulting, it's a lie. Like, it's flat out just not true.
Yeah.
Like, it's this idea that it caters to this decades-old mentality that we're all just these macho-headed dudes that can't read stuff by a woman because that's going to show how not macho we are.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's this archaic mentality of, like, we can't enjoy things if it's not written by a dude because that makes us less of a man.
Well, and it's a studio mentality.
Yeah.
Like, talking about films where it's like, oh, well, this movie had Mars in the title, so, and it tanked, so we can never have a movie with Mars in the title.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with the fact the movie sucked.
Yeah, which is why John Carter was named John Carter, not John Carter of Mars.
Yeah.
But the thing is that a lot of people don't seem to correlate that, hey, if your movie sucks, people aren't going to like it. If you make a good movie, it doesn't matter who's starring it. If you make a good comic, it doesn't matter who's
wrote it. Well, like, people were trying to say that, like...
I mean, like, Ms. Marvel, I have absolutely no connection to a 16-year-old female Muslim. I love that book because it's a really good read. It's enjoyable. It's fun. It's interesting. That's why I read comics. It's not because girls write it, or it's for girls, or it's for boys. It's because, hey, if this story interests me, I'm going to continue to
read it. Well, it's that weird idea that, you know, it's they take the wrong lessons sometimes, like from studios. Mm-hmm. We're talking about film.
Yeah.
Like, you take The Dark Knight, for example. Like, so many studios took the wrong lesson from The Dark Knight. Like, you take The Dark Knight, it's like, why was The Dark Knight successful? I will admit, Heath Ledger's death created a very big swirl of publicity around the movie, but it was a competent movie that didn't run away from its source material and had strong performances and a strong story, and it all tied together, and it was all really well done, and it was super successful. But the lesson all the studios took was, we need to make all of our movies dark and gritty like The Dark Knight. And I'm like, no, that's not why it was successful. Those were part of what the movie was, but they're not why people went to see it. They went to see it in droves because it was good. And it's just, like I said, they're taking the wrong lessons from stuff. And it happens a lot even in, you know, even in comics sometimes, you know. People will... And even the fans will do it too. There'll be a book that's, you know, like, written by Gail Simone or something, and it gets canceled, or the sales lower, or whatever, and they axe the book, and they go, oh, well, clearly nobody wants to read it. And I'm just like, well, you know, that's not necessarily true, because comics written by dudes get canceled endlessly. But nobody would ever dare say that it was canceled because a dude wrote it.
Yeah.
But yet a book by a woman's canceled, and that's immediately the first thing people say.
But then there's still a lot of boys club mentality. It's complete bullshit, but it's like, it annoyed me.
I'm going to say this. As a white man, we fucking ruin everything.
All right. It kind of annoyed me when, in the documentary, they showed, like, the girl in the comic book store. Mm-hmm. And there was, like, this guy that was, like, laughing and, like, looking at her. And there's another dude that was just, like, eating all messily and shit. But it's, like, that happens.
Yeah, it's
like,
real.
It's annoying because they, you know,
I know shops where that would happen.
Oh, yeah. Where some comic book readers, shop owners, whatever, would be portrayed like that. But it happens. I mean, and it's not necessarily only towards girls. I mean, I still remember the first time I walked into Third Planet, and there was a guy that literally reminded me of a comic book guy when I asked about why heavy metal was in a polybag. And they were like, oh, man, you don't know why that's in a polybag? Why are you even reading it? Oh, well, fuck you, man.
Like, it's that elitist mentality, or that idea of, like, we've all talked about this before at various points, but that idea of real fans. Which I think is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard.
Oh, prove it. Tell me.
Yeah, this idea that there's, like, some sort of bench test to prove how much of a fan you are.
Well, and the gatekeeping is even harder on women.
As someone that worked at a comic book shop, you know, for the greater part of a year, and I'm starting back up there in a week or so, I get more guys coming in that have no idea what the fuck they're talking about than you do chicks. I mean, it's like, we have a very female-friendly store, you know, because there's, what, you know, 3 female employees now, and there's only 6 employees there total.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a 50% ratio. And so the store is very popular. Like, we get a lot of female traffic, and it's great, and I really encourage that, you know. But it's cool to see that whenever they come in, and they, like, the look on their face when they realize that it's not what they were expecting to go into in a comic book shop. When they think they're going to walk in, and it's going to be people, like, belittling them and just treating them like they don't know what they're, like, talking about, or have never read a comic before, or even whenever they haven't read a comic before, they think that I'm going to, like, somehow, you know, hate them for not ever reading, you know, a comic. And it's like, no, I don't give a fuck.
You haven't read Watchmen?
Yeah, it's
get,
like,
the fuck, get the fuck out. Yeah.
It's like, let me show you this wonderful world. Like, there's things for you
to
read.
Yeah, it's just that baffles my mind that somebody will like, that happens a lot now, because
yeah.
Comics are in the popular culture. They're not going away. Like,
yeah.
These movies are making billions of dollars. I mean, the superheroes in general alone are in the forefront, and, I mean, Image is getting out in a big way, too. A lot of stuff's getting picked up for shows or movies or whatever.
I think 60% of the stuff I'm buying right now, and even superhero stuff anymore.
Yeah, but it's this idea that, like, somebody will come and say, I'm interested, what should I do? And the response is to mock them.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck, like,
man?
What is wrong with you? Like you want as many people as humanly possible reading this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, because the problem with comics is that even though they're in the forefront in the culture, the comics themselves aren't always doing well sales-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's been a lot of great comics that have fallen by the wayside because the sales just weren't there at not only independents, but even at DC and Marvel, like Captain Britain and the MI-13. Don't get me started on that fucking book.
Don't point at me. I fucking love that book.
That was just the point.
So,
we had strong feelings about that book because it got canceled and it was awesome, but it's this idea that, you know, that kind of hive mentality of, no, it's ours, you can't have it. I'm like, no, you want everyone to have it. Like, it's weird to me.
So share the fucking wealth.
One night,
sorry.
I was having dinner with my parents, and Jamie Kanojian, who is a local...
Fantastic artist.
Yeah, she's a local illustrator, comic book artist. You know, she's been featured on Comics Alliance Hire This Woman panels, things like that. She's getting up there in popularity. And she's a good friend of mine, and we went out to dinner with my parents and Jamie and her husband Robert and then another friend of ours. And my parents don't read comics. They're not. My mom tried to read Persepolis. She wasn't really used to the formatting. She appreciated the story, but she's, you know, she's still getting used to it.
Yeah.
My mom tried to read Watchmen and just couldn't do it.
She was open to try.
Yeah.
And
Watchmen's
my
tough,
parents,
though.
Yeah.
So my parents aren't comics people, and that's okay. They fully support me doing it because they're like, well, you know, at least you're not in jail. So
that is good.
So we were talking about,
hey, at least we all are in jail.
<That's right.
laughs> So we were all talking. Jamie and I were talking to my parents about, you know, the feeling sometimes left out of the comics community and how we felt like we have a very nice group here
right.
in Houston that
sure.
we sometimes feel like the exception
mm-hmm.
in a lot of ways because this is a much more you know, gender identity,
and we're all inclusive
sexuality.
Here.
Yeah, this is it's one of the more inclusive environments that I've heard about. And you know, we told our parents about the way the gatekeeping sometimes in fan cultures.
Yeah.
And my dad listened to our stories and the first thing out of his mouth was, that's just terrible business sense.
Yeah,
he's like,
absolutely.
Why in God's name would you alienate anybody that you could be making a sale? He's like, for every person that you condescend and say, well, you know, this book's not for you, you're a girl, that's, what, $3.50 that you could have been making?
Yeah,
like,
and you probably multiply that up,
more.
And
he's
it's
like,
God, who, God knows how much.
He's like, even factoring
dollars.
Out everything, he's
millions
like...
Millions of dollars.
He's like, factoring out anything else.
Yeah.
Inclusiveness... It's just good capitalism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
he's like, with all other factors, it's like, this is the stupidest business decision you can make is elitism.
Well, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but that they announced Ms. Marvel was the only Marvel book that the digital version was outselling the print version.
Yeah.
Part of that could be because of the boys club mentality. You know?
Oh, I actually think the digital sales and even outlets like Amazon and things like that are... I think that's part of the kind of the resurgence. It's because it's a limit. I don't mean to say all comic book stores are bad, but they're getting eliminated from the process. Like people don't have to go through that to enjoy these things, which is why I think these books get the followings they do. because they don't have to deal with the stores sometimes.
Yeah.
And Houston has a lot of really good stores. Houston actually, I think, compared to a lot of places, has a lot of really great comic book stores.
Every store, aside from Nan's, is represented in the Valkyries.
Yeah, I mean,
Store. So all of the Bedrocks have Valkyries. Pop Culture Company, Space Cadets up in the Woodlands, Oak Ridge area.
What's a Valkyrie?
Guys. Valkyries is a group that was started by Kate Leff a couple of years ago for women who work in comics retail. It's usually managers and retail workers, but people that volunteer there. So I'm a member of the Valkyries because I volunteer at Third Planet. I do a lot of their event planning, some of their marketing, some of their editing. So it's any woman that has some kind of professional connection to a comic book store. Some of them, like 8th Dimension up in Jersey Village, is run by Annie Bullock. She owns it with her husband.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a group for women in the industry that they form the front lines in creating safe and accepting spaces for female fans that might otherwise feel locked out of participating. And the group, I think, just this year hit about 300 members around the world. That's awesome. Valkyries in Japan, there's some in Australia, some in the UK, there's Canadian Valkyries, American Valkyries. And
those damn Canadians.
They even,
and by damn Canadians, I mean Chip Zdarsky. That fucking guy.
They even launched a t-shirt line this year for the Valkyries, which is anybody that's not a member of the Valkyries that wants to show their support for women in the industry, so male or female.
I love women. I love the industry. I love women in the industry.
You should get yourself a Valkyrie shirt.
Valkyries.
Valkyrie makes me sound like we're about to summon Captain Planet.
Captain Planet and the Valkyries.
Captain Valkyrie.
More of a reason to wear it, though.
We all need to get the colored vest then that we can go with our shirts.
So the Valkyries have been very good in finding ways to...
And Kate Leth is even in the documentary that we watched.
Yes.
Yes.
So that was really cool.
And
she's going to be a staple, too, in March at the Marchesa Hall and Theater.
Several of the people in the documentary...
Because Janelle Anselm's going to
be there. Janelle Anselm will be there.
I believe Noelle Stevenson as well.
Yes.
Noelle Stevenson.
So a lot of people. But that hive mind mentality has never made sense to me. Because in any business... You want to make as much money as possible. That's the point of business, is to stay in business. And not only to just stay in business, but to make money so that you can keep doing it and invest in your product and do it better. Like Vince McMahon. I'll bring that story up again, although I think it's the first time they're hearing it. But but it's that idea that, you know, it's never made sense to me, the whole idea of a real fan. It's never really... I've never understood the logic behind it. Or rather, I've heard excuses behind it. The idea I generally hear is that it's this misguided idea that we have to keep the fandom quote-unquote pure or something like that. Like, we have to keep it so that it's just, you know, that idea of real fans. We don't want no passives here, no casuals here. Yeah. We all gotta be big or go home. And it's this, it's never made sense to me, because I'm like, it happens a lot with the comic book movies in the culture. I see it happen a lot more. Somebody will say, oh, well, I love Batman. And I had a friend that did that to somebody. They were like, yeah, I'm a big fan of Batman. He's like, oh, what do you have any favorite comics or anything? She's like, oh, well, I've really only seen the movies. And he was like, God damn it. And I was like, she doesn't have to read the comics to like Batman, you fucking dick.
Right.
Like, there's been like 17 Batman movies.
And the animated series.
Yeah. And the animated series. And Justin, I'm like, you don't need to read the fucking comics to be a fan of Batman. Like, fucking shit. Like, goddamn.
And that attitude, I will say, it made me feel locked out and scared of trying. My first comics were when I was about 6 or 7. I read newspaper comics. I would clip them out and color them with markers, and I loved Archie comics.
Hell yeah.
Archie's the shit.
Yeah.
We're going to rant about Archie later, because Archie is still awesome.
Archie was you know, my gateway. I read Ren and Stimpy comics for obvious reasons.
Archie is my gateway.
Archie is getting a relaunch from Mark Waid and Fiona Staples, and that is badass.
That'll actually be the first Archie comic that I've ever read.
I read Archie... 600 when he got married, and then I read Archie for about 4 years.
You know what? I used to read the Digest.
This is, of course, not counting Afterlife with Archie.
Afterlife with Archie is pretty much the greatest comic in the history.
I used to read the Digest because my sister would get them and just kind of leave them in the bathroom. And I'm like, I can do this.
Well, I'm
going to be here a while.
First Archie issue I've ever bought Because I maybe have, like, glanced through them if I've ever, like, seen them sitting here. I don't know. If they've been there, I'd probably read it because I read everything.
There's this comic book on the floor. Let me pick it up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
My first comic I ever read ever was a random-ass issue of Firestorm from the 80s. And I read that book so much the cover fell off. And I never figured out what happened. It leaves on a cliffhanger, and I got, like, 20 years later, I never went back and figured out what happened.
So that was with me. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry.
That's okay.
No, so I, and then, like, every single girl that was a teenager or young, or, you know, middle schooler in the 90s, Sailor Moon.
Okay. What? Yeah. What's that?
Sailor Moon.
I'm unfamiliar with this concept now.
No, I mean, and then, you know, from all the Archies, it turned into reading Sailor Moon, but then I felt stuck in reading nothing but manga.
Yeah.
Because I felt
that was the girl book. Those were the girl comics.
And I felt kind of scared and locked out of trying American comics because so many people were like, well, you have to have read, like, all of this to qualify as someone to understand.
You didn't make it there in fighting, you know?
Do what?
I said, I felt the same way, where it's like, oh, there's 500 issues of Spider-Man that precede this? Oh, fuck, all
right. Right, and then I would go on the, you know, the online forums and read stuff. It's like, well, you know, I would see how, you know, female fans would get grilled.
Yeah.
About not being a real fan, or, oh, you're just in it because you like the way Batman's butt looks in spandex, which, A, I don't see what the problem of that would even be in the first place.
Secondly, like, B, how is that their go-to argument? Like, you only read comics because you want to see Batman's ass. Is that the first thing you thought of?
Even, like, you know, even if it's...
You might have a fixation with Batman's ass.
Even if that's your reason. Who cares?
That's like, actually the bigger point for me, is this idea that, like, you know, people get on cosplayers. That's been a big thing in... Here recently is a new wave of hate against cosplayers for quote unquote ruining conventions by people saying, oh, they know nothing about the characters they're dressed up as. Who fucking cares?
Did you see that story from New York Comic Con of a guy that was extremely happy to find out that there was a Doctor Strange movie? He went to a booth to ask a retailer, hey, I'm curious about cosplaying Doctor Strange. Can you show me some of the best the best stories from Doctor Strange? I'd love to read it. And the retailer said, get out of my booth. And then
because that's how you make money.
He bragged on his Facebook page about how, oh, well, see, he's not a real fan because he was just in it for the cosplay. And I showed him, and I'm like, dude, that is terrible business. You just talked yourself out of at least one sale. But then bragging about it on your Facebook page.
I'm gonna quote.
God knows.
I'm gonna quote Jack Nicholson right now, as I've been doing on, like, you fucking people. God damn it! This is why we can't have nice things.
But I felt. I'm going to finish my story here, because I'm going to say nice things about Vince, and who doesn't want to hear nice things about themselves?
It's true.
We'll tear him down later, don't worry.
I felt extremely locked out, and, you know, Vince sat behind me in my History of Witchcraft class. And Our History of Witchcraft class. And,
Did you ever notice that, I can't remember his name, but our professor fucking loved me.
Dr. Kelter?
Yeah.
Dr. Kelter was awesome.
I, too, noticed that in this class I didn't take.
because, like, he would, like... Alright, I was probably one of the only people in that class that got an A on, like, the midterm. He announced that. He's like, there's only, like, two people that got an A.
I think I got the other one.
You might have been the other one.
You nerds.
It was a fun class. I still have
you and your witchcraft
he
history.
He talked about, like, my thesis or whatever, the main point of our big paper at the end.
Mm-hmm.
He would talk about that to other classes.
That's awesome.
And talk about, like, how awesome my idea was.
Gee, teachers
and then,
that
wait,
much.
Hold up. This is the best
really
part.
Was.
This is the best part. So, like, we had to do those, a speech or something. It was a group project where we had to talk about something, a part of a book or something
like
that. And every single person that went up there, he grilled them. You're looking at the paper. You're not maintaining eye contact. You're missing this. You're missing that. You should have talked about this. I get up there, straight up read from the paper, kind of maintain eye contact. You know, even I'm thinking, like, oh, man, I'm going to get my ass chewed out. He looks at me. Like, he kind of leans back in his chair, strokes his non-existent beard, and he's like, good job. And I was like, this is the best.
And I'm sitting in the back going, rigged!
But, you know, we got to be friends and everything, and, you know, we got to talking about comics, and you helped me find a lot of good stuff and get well acquainted, and you didn't make me feel judged. You wanted to share... You were like, oh my god, you haven't read this and this and this, and instead of telling me, "Oh, you bitch, you don't belong here." It was, "I have all of these books that you have to borrow.
Check
this out. Here's Pride of Baghdad. Here's all of my Why the Last Man. Here's all of this. You need to
read
all of this.
Here's Sweet 3. Get ready to cry."
And,
yeah.
And then that was around, like, shortly thereafter, Iron Man came out. And my boyfriend at the time was a huge Marvel fan, and so he...
What a nerd.
He had this really big Marvel encyclopedia right by his bed, and so he would...
I have that.
I have chronic insomnia, so he would crash out, and I would stay up for hours, like, reading through all of it, and then talking to Vince about it, and being like, "Do you know about this and this and this?" And, you know...
Dude, I was just excited.
I don't have an encyclopedia.
Like,
I just
it wasn't,
have that.
It wasn't even the fact that you were a girl. It was the fact that I can turn around and talk to you about comics in class.
Yeah, you were kind of
like... This is badass.
I was kind of like your grasshopper. And
yeah.
So you
yeah,
have
that,
that's what I
like to have someone to talk to.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I lived in Arkansas and I got back into comics, I got all my roommates into comics. And, like, mainly I got Christina, who is my friend Calvin's girlfriend. I got her into comics. She fucking loves it. And now she fucking works in a comic book shop, like, working in Arkansas.
Right, and
you know?
I write comics, and I,
yeah.
I edit for Dork Shelf and Space City Nerd, and a lot of that has to do with Vince making me feel accepted.
And Vince and I talk about comics on the internet.
Here's a hug, Vince.
Hell yeah.
Aww. Thanks for everything.
You're welcome.
Gross.
Here's a hug for you, too.
Oh, no, don't touch me.
Need a hug, too.
Yay.
All right, so we'll see if we can go ahead and do some last thoughts about the documentary, since we've gone to some rather wild and interesting places. Meredith, do you have any other notes you want to talk about?
Yes. I liked the part with Wendy Pini.
Yes, the Red Sonja story.
Yeah, learning about her
was
really, really interesting to me, because I've known about ElfQuest for years now, but I had no idea that she was, like, the cosplay pioneer that she was.
Yeah.
And that was really cool to learn. And just, like, see,
or just, like, how ElfQuest kind of came out of that idea that there's no comic out there that is doing the things that I think should be done, so I'm going to do it myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what I absolutely loved was that she took Red Sonja,
mm-hmm.
who is a strong female character, but just look at her outfit. I mean, it's a G-string, not G-string, but it's like a metal bikini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she took it and made it, like, in real life.
Symbol of power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And took it and, like, made it, I mean, it was sexual. Like, she was like,
she
yeah,
took it back.
Sexual.
Really,
but
in a way.
But she was like,
I mean,
this is also about me being strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because look at me, I'm a woman, and I think she even said it, like, there some old footage from the 70s,
yeah.
or the early Comic-Cons, where she was like, you know, your perceptions are that men have to be strong and hard, and women are weak and soft.
Yeah.
You
right.
know, and she was like, I'm here to turn that around, which
yeah.
is awesome.
Well, and it was wonderful because it's... And Red Sonja as a character, when she's done well, and especially Wendy...
Gil Simone's,
you know,
Red Sonja has
yes.
been pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And Wendy's Peeny's so. Wendy Peeny's presentation of her is that you can be strong and you can be sexy. And I
yeah,
feel like some people tend to think that...
You can't be
yeah.
both.
You
like,
can't
it's
be
this
both.
Idea that if
and
you're sexy, you can't be strong.
Or
if you're strong, you can't be sexy.
Yeah, or that if you think that maybe XYZ character, it probably doesn't fit for them to be sexy, that you automatically think that there shouldn't be any sexy in comics at all.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's the idea, just write well. Write a variety.
Well,
it comes back to the idea of if you write quality. Quality,
right.
not
yes.
like it's that, you know, that idea.
Yeah,
that, well, this book got canceled because it had a woman in it, therefore nobody wants to read
yeah.
women. No, it got
right.
canceled because nobody, it was bad,
it was
or whatever.
Exactly.
Because women can be sexy and powerful and awesome, like Catwoman,
yeah.
when she's done
yeah.
well. So sexy. Red Sonja, sexy.
Like Emma Frost.
Emma Frost.
But then compared,
yeah.
like, okay, even perfect
and,
comparison, Emma Frost to Jean Grey. Because Jean Grey is more of the innocent type person, where Emma Frost is always, you know, at the corset with the very sexual outfit.
Yeah.
Right.
Or Jean Grey's the full bodysuit, you know, and it's...
And that just shows the contrast of their characters,
yeah.
because Emma Frost does that on purpose.
Yes.
Like, that's a
oh,
deliberate
she,
decision
I
by her.
I love that
yeah.
they built that into her, because I didn't know that going, you know, you pick up a comic and I'm like, well, I started reading Astonishing X-Men. That was like
yeah.
the first X-Men comic
mm-hmm.
I read in forever. And I'm like, who the fuck is this? Like, where's the Jean Grey and whatever? But then, like, you start learning who she is, and she's like, she basically says, you know, it's like, I telepathically let everyone see who I wanted me to be
mm-hmm.
until I could afford to pay for my surgery to look the way that I wanted to look.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Because that's something a lot of people would say. It's like, oh, you got plastic surgery, you got fake boobs and a new nose and whatever, and you're just trying to cater to men. But no, That's
it's what no, she wants.
Trying to cater to herself. Yeah.
To be honest, I've done some social media work for plastic surgeons before. Mm-hmm. So I'm not 100% familiar, but I know for a fact by talking to them that many patients, female patients, the very good ones will actually turn away people that come in and say, I only want to do this to attract men.
Yeah.
And that a lot of them, that the patients they will accept are the ones that say, I'm doing this for me. There's, you know, I feel like this is what I should, and it has their statements
to
this doctor
have
nothing. The good ones. For the good ones. There's some unscrupulous plastic surgeons out there,
there is a woman in Brazil that's got like size M's or whatever because she just keeps wants to get them bigger. And she's like,
And there's some that have done it for niche porn reasons because they make a lot of money catering to the minor niche. And they,
just going to some strange places now.
I liked the really
interesting. And the ElfQuest stuff, like they printed 10,000 copies and it sold out within a couple
of months. Yeah, that's fantastic.
It's and that was unheard of at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That was before Image. That was before anything.
Hell, it might still be unheard of.
It's
I mean, that's definitely rare, you know. I mean, I know people that self-print their own comics. I'm pretty sure they're not printing out 10,000 copies.
Yeah.
No, there's Image comics now that don't sell that much.
Yeah.
I think there's DC and Marvel stuff that doesn't sell that much.
I mean, I know for a fact Chris Yost did one, Killer of Demons. He sold 2,000 per issue, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and as they pointed out, it's because at the time, too, ElfQuest was probably the only comic that appealed to young girls at the time. Because that was long before they brought manga over to the United States. Mm-hmm. That was
And like I said, it was the alternative.
Yeah. Hey, it was the alternative. You're making a lot of money because you're appealing to 100% of people.
It was an alternative in a time where there weren't a whole lot of alternatives. It was exactly what people were wanting.
Yeah.
And is it still around?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Final Quest was going on. It slowly but surely comes out. You know?
That's cool.
It's kind of like Gru or Usagi Yojimbo.
Yeah.
God. Poor Stansikai.
And I have two quotes that I thought really summed up their main points. And I feel like this is a good documentary for people who prefer attacking straw arguments to real arguments to see.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it had a very, very well-balanced statement to make.
Yeah.
It was do more. It was well balanced. It wasn't any kind of reactive. It wasn't Tumblr.
No, there was not a negative male message.
No,
it was
not at all.
And I know people will try to look at something like this and say, oh, well, you know, and whatever, but I'm like, but it wasn't. It was not about saying that the men shouldn't be doing this. It was about building up and empowering women that have done it, are doing it, will do it, want to do it.
And this is what I feel like people who might be on the fence or maybe even critical, this is what I want them to see, because these are the arguments that they need to be listening to.
Well,
they don't need to be listening to Tumblr.
No, they don't.
They don't ever listen to Tumblr at all.
In general, if somebody's coming at you with just base insults and things like that, it's not the stuff you should be listening to. If someone, there's a difference between critique and insult, and so much of the internet just throws out insults that there's never any critique of stuff sometimes. Yeah. And
right.
I'm like, it's fine to have issues with something, but if your way you're going to voice those issues is by screaming and hollering and swearing and insulting or threatening, you're not getting a point across. And I would absolutely recommend that if you're not necessarily a woman looking to do this, if you're just somebody looking to get out there and do this, there's a lot of things this documentary says about getting out there and doing it. Because we live in this age where you don't need a DC and Marvel to put out successful comic books.
The media has been more democratized.
You've got web comics, you've got self-publishing, you've got a variety of avenues that hundreds and thousands of people use every day to get their content out to people. And it's I'd say now more than ever, it's if you want to get into comics, now's the time. I think if you've got something to say and you want to put it out there, there are a variety of avenues for you to do it more than ever, I think.
And it's a nice just little history of comics.
Absolutely.
It's not super in depth, but it's a good starting point.
It covers stuff that the three of us have been reading comics. Four of us.
Yeah,
I've been reading comics for a long time. I mean, the collective reading time of Vince, Dusty, and myself is probably well over 50 years.
Oh,
and
God, yeah.
It's...
Dusty alone. Like.
He's not that old, man.
Dude,
but
seriously, he reads like 200 comics a month.
But I'm just saying, like, the amount of time that we've been reading, there was stuff in this documentary that we'd never even heard of.
Oh, yeah.
Like, stuff that had completely not been mentioned for whatever reason. Although I think it's pretty obvious to know what the reason is.
Yeah.
I've
never heard of Tits and Clits, and I thought it was interesting when they talked about how it was just straight up honest discussions of issues affecting women,
and it was seen as criminal.
And they were brought up on obscenity charges.
Yeah.
And it
just shows what society was and still kind of is.
It is. Yeah.
This idea that, you know, it's kind of like when it's kind of like it's
real women, like when it comes to like women's issues and stuff like that, men get scared about it. They're like, oh, I don't, you know, and it's...
Well, you take Paul Feig's Ghostbusters movie, the quote he made recently about it that I think summed up everything about it. He's like, you announce a movie with four dudes, it's a normal movie.
Yeah.
You announce a movie with four women, it's suddenly a gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
And that pretty much sums it up. People view women differently. They're seen as... like, if a movie stars women, it automatically has to fit into a box. It has to be this certain thing. And for some reason, guys think they aren't allowed to enjoy it. And I'm like, are you fucking dense? Like, literally, how thick is your head? Like, do you float in water? Do you sink in water or do you float? Because, goddamn. You fucking people. It's that idea that, you know, it has, like, because a woman's involved, it now has to be a certain thing. Like, I actually got into this argument when that movie was coming together, and I had a friend that was really upset about the fact that a lot of sites were talking about that fact the movie was going to star women. And he's like, but they're talking about how it's good. They're selling it on the idea that it's going to star women. And I'm like, well, first off, so what?
Yeah.
And two, this movie's not even made yet. People are just excited about this concept. What's wrong with somebody feeling empowered by this concept? And he said, the problem with them feeling empowered is it means that the other movies had to unempower them. And I was like, you're a fucking idiot.
That's not how it works.
Because that's not how it works at all. Like, you can easily... And then he highlighted a whole bunch of female fans of Ghostbusters. And I was like, I didn't fucking say women don't like Ghostbusters. I'm saying this is a concept. It's a major studio Hollywood movie that they have decided the best course of action and the best pitch and the best idea they had was Paul Feig's that starred women. And that's awesome. And the fact that you're sitting here taking issue with it and now going further and saying that a woman should not take anything from this is stupid and shows how moronic men view this world sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I loved Ghostbusters. I loved the cartoon.
Everyone loves Ghostbusters.
I wanted to be a Ghostbuster.
Except one guy, and he was a fucking tool.
I wanted to be a Ghostbuster when I was a kid, and I went as the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man for Halloween a couple of years ago. That was fun. But I mean, I think it would be cool to see women in that too.
But
like,
that idea that just because it's women, it's a gimmick. That's
and
that's
it
annoying.
Goes back to this quote: when you see yourself represented, you want to see more.
Yeah.
And that, you know, if I can tell another personal story, one of my favorite superheroines, you know, when I was first talking to Vince and trying to read more of the superhero comics, my gateway was Wasp, because Wasp is a shorter. She's got the short bobbed hair and the smaller breasts and things. So she isn't like this va va voom. She's the biggest part of her when she's not Giant Woman or whatever is her personality.
Yeah.
And even though she's small and even though she has been through some absolutely horrible things in her personal life, which is a completely different podcast for another day.
Let's not talk about Ultimate Wasp, because that's even worse.
No, I'm not talking about Ultimate Wasp.
No, I'm saying like...
But we're just saying like the character.
But I liked that...
Marvel has something against Wasp for some reason.
Yeah, but I liked... She's always going to have a soft spot... there's always a soft spot in my heart for her, because I saw, you know, myself physically in there. I was like, hey, she looks a lot like me. And now I kind of want to read more, because who else might I relate to? Who else might have some of the same life experiences I have, and who may, you know, she's interested in doing like PR and advertising and fashion, and I like all of those things. So
that's why
I'm
such a big fan of Daredevil. He's a blind redhead, and that's
I strive to be blind.
Right,
I take off these glasses, I'm screwed. So blind,
and
I'm just kidding. But
yeah,
like it's, but yeah, that idea
people
that
people in wheelchairs who saw Oracle.
They definitely weren't getting empowered from Professor X. That dude's a perk.
Exactly. But they had Oracle, and we're like, Oracle is great because she's so smart. And
because a lot of people have issues with that part of Killing Joke, including Gail Simone, that idea that we're going to take Batgirl, who is this strong character, and we're going to cripple her so that we can use it as a plot device for the dudes. I like Killing Joke, but that's a pretty big offense in that book.
It is.
And it's this idea that they took that and made it into something good. And that's just great writing. It's great ability to be able to take that concept that is so kind of annoying in its outset and being like, well, it happened, they're not changing. Because Killing Joke wasn't originally supposed to be canon. Like, it wasn't supposed to be something real.
It was a standalone thing.
It was just going to be Alan Moore's standalone Batman thing, and then DC was like, well, it's good, let's make a canon. And so, that's when they decided to do Oracle. They were like, well, let's take it and run with it, and they made it good. And I forget who created Oracle. Was it Chuck Dixon? No, it wasn't Chuck Dixon, was it?
No.
I gotta look.
But again, it's the, you want to see more when you see that. And then sometimes when you don't see it, you want to make it. So, you know, and I admit, when the Avengers cartoon came out, probably the only reason why I wanted to see it was because Wasp was in it. I wanted to see how they handled her. They wrote a fantastic Wasp in the Avengers cartoon, by the way. Yeah,
which one? Earth's Mightiest Heroes?
Yeah, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. She was great in that. She was awesome, one of the most popular characters, because she was spunky, and she was snarky, and she was smart, but she was also feminine, but she could still kick ass. Like, she was all kinds of awesome things.
Yeah.
And
Marvel is really cool. Marvel has a plethora of, like, female heroes that kick a lot of ass. It's really cool.
Yeah. DC has no shortage of them either. Very true. If you think about it. I mean, DC, like, we have Manhunter, we have Batgirl, we have Batwoman, we have all the members that were in Secret Six. We have this. There's
Huntress, Power Girl.
Huntress, Power Black Girl, Supergirl. Yeah. All the. They've even introduced a lot of the female members of Green Lantern Corps and stuff. There's tons of characters out there. They just don't get a lot of sight. And actually, I just looked. Oracle was created by a female writer, Kim Yale, who very unfortunately passed away in the late 90s.
Oh.
But she and John Ostrander were the first ones that did Oracle. And
cool.
Gail Simone is an unabashed fan of John Ostrander.
Yeah.
John Ostrander is fantastic. His Suicide Squad run.
Crossed over with her Secret Six too.
During Blackest Night, actually. Yeah. But no, his Suicide Squad run was arguably the best comic when it was being published in the 80s and 90s. Like, it was just great stuff. If you're looking for a comic to read with the upcoming Suicide Squad movie to kind of prep yourself, read John Ostrander's Suicide Squad.
If you're looking for a comic book to read to prep yourself for Suicide Squad, read Suicide Squad.
But specifically read the John Ostrander Suicide Squad. There's been a lot of them, but read that one.
I hope that we get a Secret Six out of this. So Suicide Squad better be good.
There's a lot of good stuff that could come. I mean, that's the thing about comics when it comes to movies. There's just so much to mine. But with comics in general, like, just this documentary just highlighted a lot of stuff that gets thrown by the wayside a lot of the time. Because people won't, they don't realize the significance of a woman being a female comic, a woman working in comics in the 50s on high profile stuff. Like the woman that co-created Metamorpho, she later went on to work on Batman and Superman. She didn't write the ongoing Batman title, but she drew Batman and other stuff. The first woman to actually draw Batman, the Batman ongoing title was actually Becky Cloonan.
Yes.
When Batman 12 came out in 2012.
Really?
Yeah, apparently.
Damn, it's been that long. That's crazy.
Yeah. And so it's, yeah, I know. We need to wrap
it up.
There
was a quote at the beginning
that
I thought did a really good job of summing up this this whole documentary.
Sure.
There's always been women in comics.
Yes.
Whether or not you recognize and talk about them is another story entirely, but that people act, especially in the media, oh, suddenly women like comics. Well, no, women have always been involved.
Always
whether or not you've paid any attention.
It's
and
this,
whether or not they have opportunities. And I know that Kate Leth feels, she said something at one point in an interview about feeling uncomfortable about being on women in comics panels. And I understand that. You know, I've run a few women in comics panels, and I've been on a few as well. And to be perfectly honest, I wish we didn't have to.
Yeah.
People do.
It's
when
that
when people complain and say, we've actually gotten criticized for saying, you're only creating a problem. You're only having these women in comics panels because you know, don't you know that the problem will just go away if you stop talking about it? And it's like, well, no, you talk about it until it goes away, and then you no longer have to do these. If you want people to stop doing Women in Comics panels, start supporting the Women in Comics and start supporting the panels.
Yeah, it's that idea that, you know, that it comes up a lot here in just news in general. You get these ideas of racism and sexism and everything. People are like, oh, you keep talking about them, they're not going to go away. And I'm like, you know what? I'd love to live in a world where...
if you just stop talking about it.
Well, like, people talk about how DC and Marvel, or like Marvel specifically, they'll put out the gimmick press releases when they have a black character. Like when Miles Morales debuted, they hyped up that he was a black Latino mixed character, or that somebody was gay, or somebody was getting married, or whatever. People are like, oh, I wish this would stop being news. Like, I wish these things would stop being a big deal. And I'm like, I do too. But the problem is that these groups are still so maligned by culture that until they're not, this is going to be a big deal for people. Yeah. People are going to be excited. And you know what? Even if it becomes a standard thing, people are still going to get excited about it because they're allowed to. Holy shit.
My God.
But it's this concept. People are like, I wish this stuff could just get announced and it wouldn't have to be a big deal. And I'm like, everybody does. And people don't like having themselves to have to be a big deal. Not everybody's looking to get the spotlight. People just want to live their lives. But until they can do that... things are going to be a big deal for people.
Stop talking about the problem when it stops being a problem.
Exactly.
I mean, you're always going to have a few people like Tumblr. But that's
a few.
That's not going to be the majority.
It never is.
If when people are offended by the fact that I've held Women in Comics panels, which, by the way, always include at least one man.
Yeah.
You know.
How dare I?
I would like to do other things. So,
everyone would. Yeah, it's that thing. Like you said, when it stops being news, we'll stop talking.
Yeah, when it stops being a problem.
When it stops being a problem, we won't have to. Yeah, exactly.
It's like people complain. I hate when people complain. They're like, then why don't you have a men in comics panel?
And
you're
it's like, called every other fucking panel in the show.
It's like, oh my fucking God, seriously?
Well, yeah. I mean, people...
because us dudes have gotten such a short end of the stick.
Yeah.
Well, there have been all male women in comics panels.
Yeah, and that fucking baffles me.
Comic-Palooza a few years ago had an all-male women in comics panel.
And their excuse
was, we couldn't find a woman to be on it.
So, well, did you ask any?
They asked two women. They both said no, and then they're like, well, we guess no women want to be on here.
Dumb.
So, yeah.
Thankfully, they got better.
Yes. Yeah. Thankfully, they've improved, you know. Aren't you going to be on the panel?
I don't think there is one this year.
Okay.
Well, there should be.
I'm doing
Comic-Palooza's not really... they're not really organizing all their stuff
I'm yet. Doing... I'm doing comics marketing this year, though.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah, which is cool. That's one of those panels that is... got nothing social about it, and marketing in comics is fun.
It is.
And it's me and Annie Bullock from 8th Dimension, and I think a couple other people.
Sweet. Fine, so, don't invite us. We're not upset. No.
Well, it's they're getting marketing professionals, which she and I...
Now we're not professional. Now. Oh, now I see that. Yeah. Way to cut right to the heart. No.
My fancy title.
I have the least fancy
title. Just say it. We're slubs in my bedroom recording a podcast. Whether or not it's true. But no,
we have a professional mic.
Exactly. For now, until your friend wants it back. Yeah. Then we have to buy our own and get our own so that Andrew's not the loudest fucking person anymore. All right, we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. I want to thank you all for joining us. I want to thank Meredith specifically for joining us.
And thank you guys for having me on. It was fun.
It was our pleasure. And we want to thank again Mike Phillips
for
getting us the review copy of this so that we could watch it and review it here on the show.
Thank me. I kickstarted it.
Thank Vince for kickstarting it. Awesome. And thank the other thousands of people who did, including a Stephen King.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a Stephen King or not, but it is a Stephen King. But we definitely highly recommend this documentary, in short. A lot of great information, a lot of great stuff, and... like I said, check out their Facebook, facebook.com/ shemakescomicsdoc, and
check out Sequart as well. You can just search for Sequart, SEQUART.
Yep.
And that'll pop right up. They've got some excellent documentaries out there, and, you know, great books too. So.
Vince just sold a box of shit for $25.
That's amazing.
Oh my God.
All right. So he just sold a literal box of bullshit for $25. That just happened.
Oh.
Lord!
I hate this world.
This God. Is the best thing.
This is the best. I love I making cigarette. Money. Alright, guys. Let's
You're
wrap
up. You off a box of shit.
You fucking people. All right, guys, I got nothing left to fucking say except go to facebook.com/shemakescomicsdoc or Twitter @shemakescomics. You can probably check out a copy of the documentary when it becomes available. I don't know. Is it publicly available yet?
Not sure.
I don't think so.
We'll be soon.
Yeah. We'll be soon. Keep out for details. I'm sure it'll be available for people who weren't able to get on the Kickstarter. A lot of great people on it. All the people we mentioned, plus people like Jill Thompson and Kate Leth.
Marjorie
Lou. And Miss Marvel.
Noelle Stevenson.
G. Willow Wilson.
Oh, G. Willow Wilson. Yeah.
A lot of great people that are... And it's fairly recent, too. I mean,
and
even
Paul Levitz and Chris
Paul Claremont. Levitz and Chris Claremont are both in there. A lot of great... And Paul Levitz and Chris Claremont are known for their female characters
Colleen
they did
Durant.
During Colleen Durant... Endless amounts
everybody.
Of people that all have a lot of great stuff to say.
Everybody was fantastic.
So,
Simone. We already said
Let's keep going.
but thanks for joining us, guys. Thanks to Meredith for joining us. Thanks to Mike for getting us the copy. I hope everyone...
Shout out on...
Hit us up at...
Comics.
At God Hates Comics on Twitter. GodHatesComics@gmail.com. Facebook.com/GodHatesComics.
Yeah.
And SpaceCityNerd.podbean.com. And I hope all of you have a very safe holiday. Everybody come back and join us next week. And that'll take
happy
care of it for this week.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, happy Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, whatever your choice.
Yeah.
Even if you're just sitting at home enjoying the day off, good for you.
You can't see it, but I'm waving.
All right, guys, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.